Today, I'm going to talk to you from the subject of what to do when things don't make sense. What to do when things don't make sense. Anyone in the room besides me ever lived long enough where you've encountered some things in life that just didn't make sense? Lord, I didn't know this was about to happen. This was not part of the plan. This is not the way, you know, I saw myself or this situation being. I want to talk to you about what to do when things don't make sense. We're going to read the Christmas story from Luke, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 26 through verses 38. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent, or part of the Christmas story. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed, that word just means engaged, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Verse 29. But when she saw him, she was what, class? She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not fear or do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end. All right? Now, how many know that's a lot to grasp in one moment? Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, this don't make no sense. She says, how can this be? She says, I don't know a man. I ain't been with a man. Like, I'm a virgin, right? So this is not possible. So what you're saying to me, angel, like, I have a relationship with God, and I know God is real, and I know angels are real, but right now what's going on, this does not make any sense, all right? And so she said, in verse 35, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 36, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. And you remember, Elizabeth was carrying John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the one before Jesus came that he would say, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And just, you probably know that, but I just want to make sure we're putting all this together. And in verse 37, you know this scripture because I have quoted this to you typically in the Amplified throughout the entire history of Without Limits Christian Center. It says, for with God, what's that next word?
Nothing
will be impossible. And as we're going through this lesson today, I want you to remember in your life that nothing is impossible. I know things take you by surprise, but they never take God by surprise. I know life gets tough and life gets hard, and sometimes life even gets painful, but I need you to understand that you serve a loving God who will comfort you, who will keep you, who will help you, who will sustain you, who will give you the wisdom you need to bring you from where you are to where you need to be. And I know that tough times are not easy, and I know that tough times are hard, but if you stay in faith, you will get on the other side of the tough time, because in the name of Jesus, victory belongs to you. Amen? That's a good place to clap right there. So for with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. You know, Christmas kind of reminds us that God often moves in ways that we really don't expect. You know, the angel appears to Mary, and let's be honest, what he said to Mary really did not make any sense. She has no husband. He didn't give her a plan. He didn't give her a timeline. He didn't give her any guarantees. He just let her know this is what is going to happen. And so, you know, Mary teaches us really in this lesson today of how to respond to God's plan when things don't make sense, when his plan doesn't make sense, but his presence is undeniable. Because God was there. Even though it didn't make sense, God was there. That's like God told Abraham, I want you to leave your family and leave your country and go somewhere. God was there. So his presence was there, but the plan didn't make any sense. And what do you do when God gives you a plan that doesn't make sense, but his presence is undeniable? So you know it's him, but you don't know what to do with the information that he gave you. I'm about to teach you something in here today. All right? All right. Y'all know I'm a teacher. I love to teach. How many points do you think I have? Three simple points you already know, all right? You got it. Some people laugh at me, and I've heard all kind of criticism, but thank God for people that say, man, I love the fact that my pastor's going to give me three strong faith points that are going to give me what I need for the rest of the week. Amen? All right, here we go. Everybody say number one.
Number one.
Number one, be honest with God about your questions. Be honest with God about your question. It's okay to go to God with the hard questions. And just because you ask God a question doesn't mean you don't have faith. You got it? Just because you ask God a question doesn't mean that you don't trust God. Just because you ask God a question doesn't mean you're not relying on him. So Mary didn't pretend. She asked God the hard questions. In Luke 1 and 34, of course, we just read it. She says, how can this be since I don't know a man? So like you about to tell me, I'm going to get pregnant, and you know, you're not a human, but you're an angel. But just so you know, there's some things that got to happen for me to get pregnant. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you know, but there's some things that need to happen, right? And so Mary was willing to ask the hard questions. She didn't just stop, you know, and say, okay, just whatever. You know, Mary basically said, this really doesn't make sense. You know, I've got my own plan. Me and Joseph, we got a plan, and this is not the plan, and we didn't sign up for this, and my family's not going to understand, and people are going to be talking about me because they're going to think that I got pregnant out of wedlock. And you know, I'm not talking about the world. It's the church folk that's going to run me down. You got it? And so this doesn't make no sense. She was honest with God, and she asked God the hard questions. And I want you to know, in life, when things don't make sense, it's okay to be honest with God and ask God the hard questions. I didn't say we should blame God. I didn't say we should start doubting God. I didn't say, but it is always okay to talk to God because God wants you to talk to him. You know, God doesn't want you just to come, you know, and we are to go and just, we are to worship God, but God doesn't want me to worship him. Watch what the writer says, we worship him in spirit and in sometimes in truth. Lord, I love you. You are the center of my life. You are my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords, but I don't understand the situation I'm going through. And a lot of times, watch this, when you go to God and you talk to God like that, he will always give you what you need, whether it's the wisdom you need. You got it. Sometimes when we go to God and we don't understand, there's pain. And so he'll give us the comfort we need or the strength we need or the grace we need. So never be afraid to go and ask God the hard questions. She was honest with God about her questions. Psalms, the 62nd chapter, verse 8, the latter part says, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Another writer says he is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And you've got to understand that faith doesn't mean that you never ask questions. You can give your hard questions to God. You can ask him the hard questions. Everybody repeat after me. Say, God can handle the hard questions. So when things don't make sense, ask God the hard questions. When things don't make sense, it's okay to talk to God honestly. When things don't make sense, you have to know that the Holy Spirit will be there to help you, to lead you, to guide you, and to comfort you in tough times. You have to understand, no matter what you go through in life, God is never going to leave you. He's never going to leave you. Well, Pastor, what if I messed up? He's never going to leave you. What if I messed up on Monday but then messed up on Wednesday? He is never going to leave you, all right? The Bible teaches us that not that God won't lie, that God cannot lie. So it is not in his nature. He does not have the ability to lie. So when he said in his word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, God does not have the ability to back up from truth because he is truth. Does that make sense? All right. So you got to understand that he's never going to leave you and that he can be trusted. See, in life, and let's just be honest, you have to be careful who you tell what you got going on to in life, right? You have to be careful who you tell your secrets to. And you know, you said the word, everybody got secrets, so let's not play like we don't. And just because I got a secret doesn't even mean it's a bad secret. It's just something I don't want you to know. Isn't that right? You got it. It's called my own business, praise the Lord, right? You know, all of us have been through things and different things in life, and we've got to understand that you have to be careful, because if I'm going to confide in you, right, that means I've got to trust you. So, when you're going through something, a lot of times, even after you talk to God, you do want to confide in somebody else, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just make sure it's somebody that you have a relationship with, that you're tight-knit with, that you know that loves you unconditionally, that will pray for you regardless, that's going to keep y'all's information to yourselves and ain't going to hang up with you and then doubt, girl, you is not going to believe what I just heard. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't need people like that in my life. I need people that are going to be with me, not just for the good, but for the bad and for the ugly. If all hell breaks loose in my life, you got it, and it looks like, man, I have messed up. I don't know about you, but I want somebody that says, I'm still going to be with you. I'm still going to support you. I'm not going to walk away. I'm going to help you get through what you're going through. It's called loyalty, and it's a trait that people don't have nowadays. And my thing is, I'm going to be loyal to the end. If I've established a relationship with you, we in it to win it. The only way, watch this, it changes is if you change. Because I'm not going to change. I'm going to stay the same. So you are going to have to, quote, unquote, denounce me. You got to lie on me and leave. That's the only way the relationship will change. Because if I've established a relationship with you, it doesn't matter. Watch this. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm always going to be there. You got it. And let me just tell you, it's hard. Me and Pastor Evan were talking. It's hard to find people like that nowadays. It's hard to find people that are loyal. It's hard to find people, you know, that are just be good friends. And if you find one or two, or if you even find three, you are super blessed and value those relationships. Doesn't that make sense? I'm blessed because I'm around a lot of faithful, trustworthy, loyal people. And I, honestly, the longer you live, the more you realize that that's hard to find. Yes. But thank God you can always go to God, that he'll never leave you, never forsake you. So you must trust God's power even when you don't understand his process. Yes. Now, that's grammable. That's tweetable. Bookable. What's bookable? Facebook. What's grammable? Instagram, yeah, right? But you got to say it right. You ain't even got to give me credit. You got it? But you must trust God's power when you don't understand his process. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Let me just ask you something. And I want to say this very clearly, but very lovingly. If some things are not working in life the way that they're supposed to, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, am I submitting to the will of God? Am I submitting to his will? Am I submitting to his word? Am I submitting to his way in my life? You got it? You know, and so you have to. Now sometimes when I go through stuff, that's just an attack from the enemy. You understand? And I know that, and I know how to deal with that. You got it? But there's other times in your life, if there's something, it could be anything. It could be a relationship that you're trying to make work. It could be a business that you're trying to make work. It could just be anything. A car that you're trying to buy that, you know, is maybe for you later, but not now, you know. And you have to just stop and say, am I really submitting to him? Because a lot of times, if we'll be honest, when we're walking this road called life, the Holy Spirit is always leading and guiding us. He'll always tell you, do this, but don't do this. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't say that if I was you, right? And you have to learn how to submit to his will. So when you don't understand how, you got to trust who. You got it. When you don't understand how, you got to trust who. And so, because the truth is, when you look at your life in the toughest moments, God was always there. He was always there. You got it. When you thought it was all going to fall apart, God was there. When others walked away, God was there. When you felt you couldn't go any further, God was there. He was there leading you. He was there guiding you. He was there comforting you. He was there helping you. And that's why the writer says, what a friend we have in Jesus. So point number one, you know, ask God the hard questions. Go to God with your hard questions, because God can handle your hard questions. All right. Did y'all get something out of that one? All right. Here we go. Everybody say number two. Number two, say yes before you see the outcome. Now, that can be a tough one. You got to learn how to walk by faith. You got it? Say yes. Say what, Pastor? Say yes. And maybe what I should have done, well, Doc, was clarified that say yes to God, right? He's like, I ain't saying say yes to people, but say yes to God before you see the outcome. See, if you ever really want to walk in God's purpose to the fullest in your life, there's a two-word phrase that you're going to have to be willing to do. Everybody in the room say, obey God. I'm telling you, if you're ever going to live life to the fullest, have the peace that you really want, walk in the purpose that you really want, have the joy that you really want in life, you're going to have to learn to obey God. You're going to have to trust God when you can't trace him. Mary agreed without really knowing the cost of what she was going to go through. You got it? In verse 38, she says, let it be unto me according to your word. Obviously, Mary had a relationship with God. You got it? You got it? When you read the whole thing, she was troubled at his saying. She wasn't necessarily troubled at the angel. So obviously, she had a relationship with God. And she said, according to your word, I am your maidservant. There were so many things that Mary said that shows us that she had a relationship with God, that she trusted God and she had faith in his word. Hebrews 11:1 teaches us that now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. So faith says yes to God before clarity comes. Because a lot of times God shows you as you go. A lot of times, God, he gives you instructions, but he doesn't give you everything to go along with it, because God gives you more on your way than he does when you start. Because the truth be told, Abraham, if you know what you're going to go through, you might back up and say no. The truth be told, Joseph, if you know what's going to happen in your life, even though it's going to end up good, the middle is going to be a little tough. But I want you to know that I am still the God of the middle. So no matter how tough it is, I'm going to be there leading you, guiding you, and help you. Isn't that good to know that he is the God of the middle? Sometimes when things initially happen, you got it. You're like, okay, that's okay. It took me by surprise. But like my pastor said, it didn't take God by surprise. I'm going to get in faith. You start confessing the word of God and you believe, in the end it's going to be victory. But you don't expect it to take a month or 2 months or 3 months or 4 months or 5. And if you're not careful, in the middle is when the fiery darts from the wicked come. In the middle is when the negative thoughts from the devil come. In the middle is when the devil tries to wear you out and cause you to lose strength. But you have to know that he is the same God. You got it? He's the same God. So he's the God of the middle that's going to be there, that's not going to leave you, that's never going to forsake you, that's going to give you the strength you need, the joy you need, and the comfort you need. And sometimes, right when you're in the middle and you don't want to be there, you got to stop, just throw up your hands and say, Father, I thank you. You are the God of the middle. You are helping me right now. I'm graced for this moment that I'm going through because you are the God of the middle. He's the God of the middle. Everybody say he's the God of the middle. Yeah, and that's good to know. It's just easy to rejoice, you got it, after you've gotten the victory. Come on, somebody. But watch this. The same God that you're rejoicing at the end, that when you get the victory, is the same God that was there with you in the tough times. You got it? All right. So your obedience may not make sense now. Everybody say now, but it could change everything later. And so you've got to learn to obey God. You've got to learn to obey God. I remember years ago, I was telling Chandler in the office, I was like, man, can you believe it? And we can, because we're faith people. Without Limits Christian Center is 18 years old. Isn't that something? We came to New Bern. So first of all, just backdrop, we were in Jacksonville at my father-in-law's church, who is my pastor, Pastor Taylor. And I served him for many years, even before I met Lady. And that's just a whole another amazing story. But anyways, when it was time, when God spoke to us, we went and talked to our pastors. And I mean, they immediately told us, yes, we that's the will of God for your life. You're supposed to pastor. So we didn't leave mad and try to break up a church. And that's why you see a lot of little churches, I'm just going to be honest with you, they never get big, because they broke out of this one and they broke out of this. There was no blessing. You understand? And you can't go without a blessing. Does that make sense? Because where there's no blessing, there's going to be no fruit. Does that make sense? And so I'm not hating or talking. I'm just telling you that that's why you see that. So what happened is, you know, they say, yes, you're supposed to. And in my mind, in my what? All right, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm a pretty good preacher, you understand? I'm going to go to a bigger city. I'm going to go to a Charlotte, you understand? I'm going to go to a Raleigh. I'm going to start me a, you know, a church, and man, that thing's going to blow up. And then the Lord says, go to New Bern. Who can understand his ways? They are far past finding out. But God had a plan. You got it? And I had to trust God's plan, and even though it didn't make total sense at that point, it changed everything later. And sometimes in your life, you know, God will tell you to do something, and you're like, okay, that's not what I was thinking. Well, his ways are not our ways, and neither are his thoughts ours. You know, his are higher than ours. So what happens is, God, we have to understand that God's not going to come down to our level of thinking. We've got to go up to his level of thinking. He's not going to come down to our way of doing things. We've got to go up to his way of doing things, right? And when you do it God's way, what's going to happen? You're going to get God results. And so you have to have faith in the faithfulness of God. And whenever God speaks to you, I don't care what it is, about giving, about stopping and praying for somebody in Walmart, you know, about calling somebody who has done you wrong, who has not yet apologized and said, well, you call them and you initiate. Just no matter what it is, you're going to have to learn to obey God. Everybody say, obey God. Obey God. If you'll learn to obey, I live the life I live because I obey God. I do. I live the life I live because I obey God. Jonathan was just there. You know, I love Jonathan. I'm proud of him, but I wouldn't plan on giving him $1,000. And that ain't church money. I'm talking about me personally, you know, going to give him. And Lady and I, we do that all the time. But, you know, it's Christmas. You got it. We about to, you know, we'll be back for next Sunday, but we're about to go on a trip and, you know, just enjoy Christmas and those kind of things. It's, you know, and it's going to cost me, you know, a little bit of money. You understand what I'm saying? You know, Big Daddy going to have to shell out this week. You got it? But it costs to be the boss, right? To all my husbands, it costs to be the boss. To the fathers, it costs to be the boss, right? But as soon as the Holy Spirit said it, because I am so in tune to obey God, you got it? I didn't wait. I immediately said what I was going to do. Because watch this, because words have power. And I'm not going to not say it so the enemy can come and say, well, you ain't said nothing yet. Ain't nobody heard it. You can really back. No, I'm not going to let the devil talk me out of God wanting to bless somebody and in turn bless my life. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so I have this relationship with God. The moment God says do something for somebody, I do it with deliberate speed. And then I even publicly say, hey, lady, don't let me forget. Why? Because I'm about to teach, you know, I'm about to leave that moment. You got it? But I don't want to forget. And I know if I do forget 3 days from now, Jonathan ain't going to text me like, hey, pastor, it's the doctor. You got it? I wish he would. But he ain't, that's not his nature. You got it? He like his mom and his daddy. They ain't gonna ask for nothing. You understand? And so watch this. But anytime God tells you to do something, immediately obey God. You got, especially, you got it, period, right? But especially if God wants you to bless somebody, don't wait, because you don't know if somebody's in faith, believing God, needing something, right? And so anytime God tells you to give, do it with deliberate speed. Obey God so you can get the seed in the ground so it can start, you know, getting in motion for your life, but you've also been a blessing to somebody else. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap right there. All right. Y'all get anything out of this? All right, this is real good. This is real good. And my point, my last point, everybody say number three. Choose faith over fear. Now repeat after me. Say every time. Every time, choose faith over fear. All right? The angel shows up, and the Bible says that Mary was troubled. So in verse 30, he immediately said to her, depending on what, you know, what translation KJV says, do not fear. NKJV says, do not be afraid. You got it. Amplified says, relax. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And so, you know, but anyways, when things don't make sense, how many know fear will always try to fill in the gap? But faith has to be our response. All right. If you're not afraid to, and you're going to do it on the count of three, just tell me how old you are on the count of three. Okay. All right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. All right. Okay. Y'all ain't afraid. I like that. All right. in those amount of years, can you testify that God has been faithful to you?
Amen.
All right. So he's the same God. You got it? Watch this. Now let's just go. Have you ever been through some trouble?
Yes.
Have you ever been through some hard time?
Yes.
Have you ever been through some painful experiences?
Yes.
Have you ever had moments where you weren't sure if you're going to make it?
Yes.
All right. And even in all of those experiences, did God always come through?
Yes.
Of course he did. He is the same God. And so you have to have faith in the faithfulness of God. So when I get in a situation that takes me by surprise, the first thing that tries to happen is fear will try to fill the gap, but faith has to be our response. We walk by and not by. So Mary could have allowed fear to stop her, but instead she chose to trust God. She chose to trust God's power. She chose to trust God's presence, and she chose to trust the relationship that she had with God. Fear may be the first voice we hear, but faith must be the final decision that we make. You got it? Sometimes, let's just be honest, sometimes the enemy will try to show up right away, and that's fear. So sometimes the first voice, here comes the devil. But faith has to be our response. So 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, I already had you repeat it. I'm not going to make you do it again. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight, all right? See, because fear says or asks the question, what do I see? But faith asks the question, who do I trust? And you've got to learn to trust God, all right? Let's go home, maestro number two. Say, play something soft and metacritical, all right? All right? Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to live by faith. All right, look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know whether you were second choice. And say, it's time to live by faith. It's time to trust God no matter what. And I know life gets tough, and I know life gets rough, and I know things get hard, and I know sometimes life doesn't make sense, but you got to trust God. Everybody say, no matter what. Can I tell you something? The kids are going to be okay. The grandkids are going to be okay. The relationship is going to work out. The bills are going to get paid. If you're in a business, the business is going to succeed. Your body's already healed. Like, trust God no matter what. And in closing, I want to remind you that you are going to make it and you are going to win. That tough times don't last. Tough people do. And I don't know if you realize it, but you're tough. And I'm talking to you right now. So don't look at your neighbor to the left or to the right. I'm talking to you. And I want you to know that you've been made in his image. You've been made in his likeness. His DNA is on the inside of you. And you have been made of the tough stuff. And God has not brought you this far just to leave you. You are built for this. You are built to last. You are prepared for whatever comes your way. Because the DNA of a champion lives on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Everybody say, I'm built to last. Come on, I'm built to last. Yeah, sometimes when you're going through stuff, you just got to stop and talk to yourself. I don't care if you're in Walmart, Food Lion, or the Pig. I don't care who's looking and who ain't looking. Sometimes I was talking to myself last night. I walk in the room, ladies, like, who are you talking to? Myself. Because sometimes you got to learn how to encourage your own self. Sometimes you got to learn how to talk faith into your own self. Sometimes I tell myself, get it together. Come on, you got it. You know, get yourself, what are you thinking? You got it? Yeah. Because what happens is the enemy will always try to come in with fear and doubt and unbelief. And I'm going to do one of two things. If I'm quiet, I'm going to just listen to everything he has to say. But if I open my mouth and start declaring the word of God, it combats everything that the devil ever brought my way. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this lesson. And I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that has ministered this lesson in a way that it meets the spiritual needs of every person in this place. Now, Father, you know everyone in this room and online, name by name and situation by situation. And so it's with great confidence I know that you are meeting them at the point of their need. And I declare, Father, that this week, in the name of Jesus, that the people of God are going to see you in ways they haven't saw you in a long time. And so I thank you for refreshing on this week. I thank you for miracles on this week. I thank you for incredible favor on this week. I thank you for increase on this week. I thank you for unexplainable joy on this week and unexplainable peace on this week. I thank you for doing something supernatural in their lives that will be so unexplainable that when people ask, all they can say is that God did it. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Are you glad you came to church today?